This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The sure bet is on the Canopy Group. Everyone is going mad in March trying to narrow the field down to 16. It's as simple as that. Options. Life is all about having options. Ricey here for the Canopy Group, and they have the Savory 16. The Canopy Group has 16 different insurance companies giving them options to provide you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. The difference is at the Canopy Group, their tournament never ends. They continue to use their 16 different companies to match you with the company providing the best coverage at the best price, and they do this year in and year out. Get in the game. Contact the Canopy Group and get them working on your brackets. Bracketology isn't foolproof. The sure bet is on the Canopy Group, saving you an average of $810 on your home and auto insurance annually. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com and they will check out your options.
Always fun. Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Ricey Unchained.
All right, Patrick, where do you want to start from a very busy weekend?
I want to start by putting the idea of the Ricey jinx to rest, that people always get upset when I write something positive, and then the outcome is negative.
Yes.
Early February, I went to St. Peter. Wrote a column on the Gustavus Adolphus women's hockey team, which had never had been a dynasty, but had never won a championship, never won a D3 championship.
Yeah.
Basically wrote, this could be the year. Yesterday, triple overtime, they beat Amherst. They're the first ever Western champ.
Congratulations.
So, Mr. Puck.
Mike Carroll has Annie Carroll's older brother. Annie Carroll grew up in a family of six boys, and then her. She was the youngest. And Mike Carroll is one of the older. I might be the oldest. I'm not sure. But he's been coaching at Gustavus for 23 years. Second most victories in women's hockey of any coach.
Yep.
And they yesterday, on Friday, two overtimes to beat plucky Plattsburgh State.
Ooh, yeah, Plattsburgh's in it all the time.
And then yesterday, three overtimes to beat Amherst. So they win it, and I think we can now call it Ricey Magic instead of the Ricey Jinx.
At least when it comes to the amateurs.
Now, I did write a column about how good the Gopher hockey team was, Motzko, and then they lost to Michigan.
Hell of a game.
It was a very good game. I didn't think that our Close, who's been pretty good for him, was great, and I think that might have been the difference. But the Gophers, they still have the talent to win it, obviously. People are whining because, Mankato, St. Cloud, and them are in the same. Well, St. Cloud and Mankato might be whining, but with the Gophers, you're going to have to beat a good team in the regional final anyway, and it's not like the Gophers have to beat both of them.
Why are we surprised by this? Like this incentivizes a lot of the fan bases to make
the
drive.
Be full, yes.
So what's the point?
Like it's,
and I don't want a bunch of teams from here in Tampa. Like, that's fine.
If you're the NCAA selection.
Yeah, or me.
Correct, you don't.
Yeah. Or me.
I mean, that one, I saw the Eastern divisions are interesting because the one is absolutely loaded and the other one is like, huh, what's going on? Actually, three of the, because of Penn State, three of the sites are east and only one out here is Fargo. So, and the selection committee says, Yeah, we like it when there's a lot of people at the tournament. So they put St. Cloud and Mankato same.
That's my point. Yeah. I would rather have them do that than have it be, you know, spread those teams out
and
have one fan base.
Now, if you're the Gophers and you lose to Canisius, that's a worse loss than the Holy Cross, than the famous Holy Cross.
Oh,
loss.
For this team.
Yes.
That's a worse loss time. But I'm kind of liking the fact that you know St. Cloud and Mankato is going to be a brawl, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a tough 3-2 hockey game, hitting mm-hmm. the crap out of each other. And then you get to beat Canisius 7-1, and you get the survivor of Mankato and St. Cloud who will have played a very rugged game. Now they changed the situation this year so they don't play Thursday, Friday, or correct. Friday, Saturday, or they have a day off now. So both of them will have a day off to recover. But still, it's a big advantage for you. You get a cupcake, and those two teams play each other. So there's no excuse for this team not to get to the Frozen Four.
Oh, absolutely not. It's a massive disappointment if they don't.
Oh, God.
Yes. I mean, they should win it.
I do.
If ever they should win the Frozen Four, this is the year.
I mean, Moscow, and he's never a look at us. Boy, are we good. But he, as I said, he told me, they have seven defensemen with a chance to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
And the three will be playing there next month,
yes.
probably.
Well, look at all the guys that came back after last season to
yes.
do this.
Yes.
Faber, Lacombe, Nyes.
Yes.
All of those kids could have turned pro.
Yeah, yes. And he actually told me that he thinks Nyes in his heart wants to come back, but they won't let him. There's no way Toronto will let him. He's too good. I mean, he's
got nothing left to prove in college.
Plus, if you look at an NHL player,
yes,
that's him.
Yes.
What, 6'3 or something, and just a brick and a great hands.
Maple Leaf fans think he's going to be the savior.
Yeah.
So he's got no chance.
Yeah, they'll turn him pro. And he can, all these guys can sign and play, right?
Yep. A bunch of them can.
I've drafted, Nyes is a second rounder or something.
Yep.
Was he originally Toronto, or was he in a trade?
No, he was originally Toronto. And, in fact, at the deadline, a bunch of teams tried to get him, and that's one guy that Kyle Dubas, their GM, said, you ain't touching him.
Really?
And yeah, he's that good.
And Faber, our boys got in the Fiala trade?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. And Lacombe is with the Ducks, and their GM has been at a bunch of games, if I'm not mistaken. And the guy I love, he'll come back, but I think he's fantastic, is Snuggerud.
Oh, yeah. He'll come back, I think, though.
I mean, the old man was good and worked his ass off.
I learned something reading about Randy Johnson had a good piece on that line.
Yep.
Long. They gave it big coverage in the strip, I think, Wednesday. I didn't realize Grandpa, that Snuggy, is married to a Wesby. Minneapolis South, James Wesby, Olympian, and when Minneapolis South was good at hockey when I was a kid, yeah, this is a lot, 50s, 60s, you know, early, there was two families over there, the Wespies and the Alms, and it seemed like they had an endless supply of both, and James Wesby was, of all the Wespies, he was probably the best.
Okay.
But that's Snuggy's grandpa.
Okay.
So I tried to look up. I think he's still with us, but I'm not sure.
Grandpa is.
Yeah, I think Grandpa's still with us, but
okay.
I'm not sure.
That kid is really good.
God, he can shoot the puck.
Freshman.
Yeah.
The Blues drafted him, what, in the 20s of the first round, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted in the first round, I think, last June. I want to say in 20-something, but boy, is he a good player.
The other thing we had, I said this, that Pitlick goal.
Oh, God.
That was one of the great goals in Pitlick family history, which is rather extensive. They got Pitlicks
all
over
the
place.
But the old man was a, you know, like a rugged defenseman.
Yes.
Lance was a big dude.
Yes.
That move this kid made was...
There's another brother, and then there's a nephew, and there's...
There's Tyler, who's a nephew,
yeah.
who's a veteran now in the National Hockey League. And then there's Rem, who's in Montreal, who was here briefly.
And he's what? Is he a nephew?
He's a son.
He's a son.
No, okay. Tyler's the nephew. Yeah. Rem is the son, and Reddit is a son.
Did Lance play at Armstrong? Where's he from?
Lance played at Cooper.
Cooper. Okay. Cooper.
Lance played at Cooper, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, he played at Cooper, and the Richards played at Armstrong?
Well, and I can't remember this, but my Leopold is related to one of those families out there. He's a stepbrother or something.
Oh, really?
And I think it's the Petlicks, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's the
Petlicks. Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah. So
I was just going to look it up, but I'm pretty sure.
I think you now have Leopold kids on the way, right? That's quite a pipeline. Ex-Gophers having 18-year-old kids now.
Oh, God.
For him. He's got how many of them over there? You have three or four, right?
So Pitlick graduated from Robbinsdale Cooper High School in 86.
Oh,
Lance did.
All right. And when did Leopold graduated when?
Oh, he's significantly younger. He was on the Frozen Four team in 2003.
Oh,
Jordan,
okay.
Jordan you're talking
Jordan,
about, right?
Yeah. 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 Well, then I don't think it's the Pitlick. I can't remember who he's related to in the family out there that have.
But yeah, Cooper every once in a while used to churn out a hockey player or two.
Mm-hmm. And Armstrong had that one little period where they were really good.
Yes.
So my nephews played on that team that lost to. Didn't get to the state. They lost to Elk River in the regional final, and then Sarsen won. I think Elk River won it that last year.
Yeah,
that year.
That might have been Paul Martin's team.
Yeah, might have been. Might have been. And then Tony got in trouble because he got a little whiskey in him and went out there. And I went out, and I had a buddy out there, Roger Holmgren, who used to call the show all the time, and I went out to in the middle of the Tony brouhaha. I went out there and sat, stood behind the glass and for a game with Roger. And Roger gave me all the inside, who went to whose house and what this stuff. And I wrote a column about it. Roger said, "They're gonna run me out of town. They know it was me." Roger. Poor Roger, he died young. God, he was a great guy. It was too bad, but he was getting all kinds of abuse because Tony was popular because he was winning. Although he had his share of enemies, but it was kind of fun. They were loaded there for a while. Oof.
Yes, they churned out, and that was what about a 15-year period?
Yeah,
it wasn't that long. Mm-hmm. It feels like.
Yeah,
but yeah, they had some really really good players there. Okay.
Joel Otto, right? Where'd Joel Otto go? Where was he?
Joel Otto, hold on a second. You might be right. That's a long time ago, if that's the case, because he was with the Flames on that Stanley Cup team in the 80s.
He was a great player for the Flames.
He was, he was fantastic, Joel Otto. Let me see here. It's a Wikipedia page. Yep. Elk River.
Nope. Yep.
Yeah, but he's 61 now.
Really?
Yeah, he was born in 61. He's 61 years old now.
So I was downstairs at the cafeteria the day before I came up here. And the guy behind the counter and a 40-year-old kid, 35-year-old kid who works here, were talking about all their ailments. I said, I don't need this.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to my 70-year-old buddies, I can spend enough time talking about our ailments. You're too young to sit around talking about your ailments. Give yourself 40 years, then talk about your ailments.
Don't be soft.
No, no. I talked to Ringlesby the other day, and for the first time in a long time, and we basically spent 30 minutes comparing ailments. I don't need this anymore. Tracy, one of my favorite quotes ever, he loved to chew, loved to chew. And then he went into this, he was laying on his couch one day, and he went into this stupor, and it was like he went into a semi-conscious state. This is like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And They traced it to chewing tobacco. They traced it to a reaction of, you know, swallowing too much of that stuff. So he had to give it up. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Life isn't worth living without chewing
tobacco."
That's
as bad as smoking.
Oh,
to quit, right?
Chewing tobacco is
Carew used to have the all-time wad.
Gruesome. Now, Carew one time shook hands with Joe and gave him the whole big wad. And,
oh, God.
Joe was a young reporter there, and Rodney picked up on his naivete, you know.
Yep.
Slapped that big wad of crap into his hand. So,
because guys used to wrap it in bubble gum or in gum, right?
Gum, yeah.
That
yeah.
is. Oh, God.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's a terrible habit, man. Oh, man.
I had friends in high school on the baseball team that did that, did the bubble gum. And that was even a thing 12 years ago. I had buddies that were doing
that. On the baseball
that.
Team?
Oh, yeah.
What, did you have a coach who kind of ignored the fact he knew
ignored
what they
the were fact, doing? What worked best would either be the big league chew, which you can kind of mash with it, or the bubble tape. You know, the bubble tape,
and
the
you
one
just,
with the,
you just
that wraps
tell
around.
Him you, and so you just tell the coach you're eating big league chew, right?
Yeah.
Except if you look. It's brown.
It's
when
brown.
You spit
it's
it
brown.
Out.
Big league chew. It's root beer flavored.
Slop going. Oh,
it's bad.
Billy Gardner, worst ever, because he just slobbered it, man, and down his cheeks and down his chin, and it's like you gotta improve your still alive.
Yeah.
Oldest living twin.
90 something now, right?
I think 93. Because I think Big Al, married to my cousin, just turned 92.
Okay.
So I didn't, and maybe 90, but Gardner's a year older than him. So he's the oldest. I haven't heard anything about what condition he's in, though, or anything.
Where is he now?
I don't, home, probably home somewhere in.
What was his home state, you remember?
Connecticut, I think.
Okay.
I think from Connecticut. I think his great quote was he was rooming with Pod up. These guys were making so much money, they all roomed together at the Super 8 up in Roseville.
Well, I remember the stories about how he lived in that Super 8.
Super 8, yeah.
It wasn't a bad Super 8, by the way.
Yeah, and Kelly, too, was up there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, they were all up there.
I just remember the Gardner stories because you guys would write about it all the time.
Gardner, well, that's when the semi-truck was leaving the parking lot and took out one of the rooms. You know, took out one of the rooms up there. The guy was loaded and left the bar. Got his semi and took out a room. And Gardner says, "They're calling it the Super 7 now, pal." He was the greatest. And then he, but he was rooming with Pod, you know, and Pod couldn't sleep. And Pod was trying to quit drinking. He did. Pod went through St. Mary's. My wife was there when Pod went through St. Mary's. And, so he started drinking near beer, you know, 12 a day, but he quit drinking. But he was just the chain smoker of all the time. And Gardner's greatest quote ever was, he was married to Miss Connecticut, the woman that when he married her, she was like the best looking girl in Connecticut, right? And but Pod would sit over on the register and smoke cigarettes at, you know, half the night. And Slick's quote was, "How would you like to wake up in the morning and know you're married to Miss Connecticut, and the first thing you see is Pod's blue head?"
Oh,
God, they were fun, that coaching staff. They were unbelievable. A lot more fun than this group.
Oh, God.
What do you think he'd be saying about Buxton and Polanco and all the injuries?
What would he have been saying about Buxton 4 years ago is the question.
That's right.
Oh, good. So, yeah, and Polanco. Shocking, we're now going to get the list of guys who won't indeed be ready for opening day.
You know, I still like Falby, and as a guy, I think he's an okay guy, but the level of BS that he tries to deliver now. Levine used to be their BS artist. Now, yep. Now Falvey's confident enough to be the BS artist. And that's nonsense yesterday or the day before about Polanco's fine. He's progressing just as we want. Oh, but by the way, it's very unlikely he's going to start the season. He might be down here a couple extra weeks. Where did that come from?
The sad thing is it wasn't surprising.
No.
I expected it because you know how he operates. He's not as creative as he thinks he is.
No. Well, here's the other thing. It's hard to do, but you kind of got to look behind. When they make a move that's puzzling, like bring in Solano, you should be smart. We should be smart enough, and you just take it on the face value. Instead, we should be smart enough to say they're getting a second baseman for no reason.
Right.
After they let Arraez go. They're getting a second baseman for no reason. They're worried about Polanco.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting Joey Gallo for no reason. No reason in God's green earth. Two things. They're either going to trade Kepler, which they obviously can't, or B, they need a first baseman.
Yes.
Because Kirilloff's not going to play.
Yes.
So you can't. But they give you the BS of why they signed Joey Gallo.
Right.
But there's a real reason they signed Joey Gallo. And the Solano, too. Didn't make any sense. You let Louis Rise go, and then you trade Louis Rise, and then you get Drew Solano.
Yeah.
Because you already have, if you're just looking for a right-handed hitter that hits lefties, you got Garlick, But
these teams lie so much now.
Oh, God,
we should always guess why. What they tell us now means nothing.
No.
We should always look at the move and say, okay, here's two possibilities.
I pine for the days of Andy McPhail, who would say, I can't help you with that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because then you can...
He wouldn't lie to you, but he'd say, okay, I want to...
But that gives you license then...
about Polanco?
But that gives you license for interpretation then.
Yes, it does.
And that's what you want.
Yeah, that's true. I can't help you with that.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't blatantly lie.
Then I'll tell you what I think.
Yes. There you go.
Between this stuff and the cat stuff, with the wolves, which is ridiculous.
We were just talking Cap before the show, and he is, you're probably right that he's going to ask for a trade, but why, if he's practicing in a basketball setting, and you've lost Edwards, why the hell isn't he playing?
That's what,
and
I have no idea.
He's listed it out today for the Knicks. I think he was listed as out again.
Yep. And
why is he not? There's 10 games left. There's 10. If you're going to end up having to trade him, let people look at him to see if if I'm going to trade for him and give him two number ones or something and eat a $235 million contract, I want to know that the guy's not an invalid for the rest of his life. Don't you have to show him to people here?
Well, or just, can he help you win a game? I have no idea at this point. Perhaps he can't.
It is unbelievable.
I have no clue.
All I know is all you Wolves fans out there right now, wish you were Knicks fans, don't you?
Yeah, it is.
That is a guy who knows how to put a team together. Yeah. Give me those two. I don't want one Villanova guard. I want two from the national championship team. They're playing good. They were. The other night I'm watching them, or was it afternoon? I don't know. Afternoon game, Garden, hopping. Denver. I think it was an afternoon game.
Mm-hmm.
Denver. They were 13 down, and now they're ahead 114, 110. And Jokic tries a three and misses it, and they rebound. This is now like 20 seconds. And Brunson brings it up, just keeps coming up the left sideline on the move, and he throws it on an on-the-move lob dunk to Robinson to make it official. They're going to win the game. That place went insane, the Garden. Went insane. They love this team. So, anyway, Tibbs, we got a skinnier Tibbs now, but the comb over might be at his all time worst.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yep.
It's really thin. But, I'm happy for him because everybody was going to run him out. But they still, when the playoffs start, isn't it kind of odd that you're sad that you're in the East instead of the West after all those years of, I mean, they're going to have to play the Cavs in all likely in a 4 or 5. And JB? The Cavs are good.
Yes. Because the Cavs made the right trade with the Jazz.
Yes. Unlike another team that we know.
God, this is a mess.
Did you tell me that Gobert is listed as doubtful for today, too?
That wasn't me.
Somebody told me Gobert is listed as doubtful, too.
And Ant. Who knows? Ant.
Well, Ant, I will say, now Ant might have given us a little go-go Gomez with that agony.
I hope
but
so.
It sure as hell looked bad. Ooh, it looked. You know, ankles in basketball don't work. They're just that, you know, there's just too many big guys landing on them.
On feet, yeah.
Sweet.
Or you land on them.
Yes, yeah. Right.
You know, the
you
big
land
feet,
on their
you
big
land,
feet.
And then bang.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always.
But this has been just a disaster.
Oh,
this Wolves season has been just. Could not have scripted it worse.
Well, when you think what lies ahead.
Yeah,
when you think of what lies ahead.
What? Well,
what you're giving up?
Yeah.
To produce this product, and you're paying this guy $8 million a year to be a general manager.
Yeah, and we never hear from him. We have no. Bleeping
we don't
clue.
Hear from him. And how about the guy, how about Lori, who's sitting on the sidelines celebrating early this year, taking bows and stuff? Where the hell are these two guys?
I've seen him a few times.
How can you be scrounging for money to get what you need when teams are selling for $3.5 and $4 billion and you're only paying 1.5? What do you think they're trying to get guys, somebody to pay more of that because of the, you know, more of the 1.5 than they would have because teams are worth so much money now? I'm wondering if they're.
I don't know about that. I took it to just mean that they were trying to
looking for
further
investor.
The investor group for, you know.
Yes.
But I mean, yes, the everybody else is writing checks and buying it.
Yeah.
And saying, here you go.
Yeah, we got to put these guys on.
These guys
plan.
Were, here's a payment, here's another payment. Can I wait on that
we
payment?
Now put it, I swear to God, they told us December, and then they told us February, and now they're saying they're going to meet the March whatever right now. The next deadline is right now, I think.
Yeah, and the next payment
and
is,
it's only
is the last one, right? December?
Next one, yeah.
The next one after this.
But the next one is only, what, 150 or something?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway,
it's taking too long. That's what I know.
You know what? They had a real good year at the gate, too. People showed a lot of games. The fans showed more enthusiasm for this team than they deserved, which is unusual.
Uh-huh.
And then, anyway.
Well, there was a lot. I mean, you know, preseason, a lot of excitement about this thing.
Yes, there was.
I'm surprised there's not more angst right now. It feels like we're back to apathy, which I don't care. If this was the Twins, you know. With Maurer.
Yeah.
The angst, which was justified, by the way. Where is that with this cat thing? And I'm not saying it all has to come down on Carl, but my God, we haven't
now,
seen
why,
him.
Why aren't we mad at,
yeah, at somebody?
We're mad at Joe because he was making, what was that contract? I can't remember. It was
23 a year. Yeah.
And with the money, he didn't want to. Well, this guy's got more coming and he don't play ever, so.
Well, yeah, and he's tweeting these cryptic things about what wanting to
uncaged lion.
Yeah.
He got an uncaged the lion. He might be the most tone deaf athlete I've ever observed in this town. He has no. He sets himself up for ridicule better than anybody. Uncaged the lion. You've missed 51 games. Ugh, uncage the lion. What a moron. Unbelievable. Ugh. So have you watched much college hoops?
You know, I watched more than I thought I would. But it's the 16 beating the 1 now to me is not surprising.
Well,
this game is so far away from what I remember.
I am proud to have been bashing Purdue for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because they're
well, the
guards.
Big Ten, you bashed them.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
They get one to the Sweet 16, and that's
Izzo
coaching his ass off.
Yep.
And they have the same number of teams in the Sweet 16 as the Ivy League, one.
Yeah.
And but Purdue, the amazing thing about Purdue, the other team outplayed them. Their guards are awful. How did this guy have the? I mean, that Eddie's going to have to feel like a fool going up at the Final Four and accepting the National Player of the Year award when he got beat by a team that's in the 300s, the lowest rated team in the tournament.
Yeah.
And, but I'll tell you, the game that was a hell of a game, Arkansas and Kansas was a battle, was a war.
Your guy, Mossy, taking the shirt off.
Yep. He did that in Nevada a few times.
He's ripped, so he can do it.
Three guys foul out. His best player, one of his best players, got hurt, lost for the year real early. And he gets three guys fouled out. He's playing. He's all of a sudden down to like the ninth or tenth kid who was a skinny white kid who was a Mr. Arkansas basketball freshman that he probably just took to be kind. But they survived and won it. I texted him last night and said, your daddy would have loved that war. And he texted me back and said, thanks. He says, how's things in Minnesota? I said, we got snow up to our arse and no NIL money. I said,
yeah.
He got a little laugh at that. But they could not have hired him 2 years ago. Arkansas was just giving him a new $4 million plus contract. But, and Barrero got this from Eric. He never told me this, but they certainly could have hired him instead of Richard Pitino. And they had an interview lined up with him, and for some reason, Teague canceled it. Maybe maybe the administration wouldn't let him hire him. I don't know.
Well, Teague was, I mean, my God.
Well,
they couldn't have bungled that thing any worse than they did.
Hey,
and you're supposed to be Mr. Basketball.
Brad Stevens was going to come here. And then
that's Shaka Smart.
We didn't know whether to take Brad Stevens or Shaka Smart.
And both of them told him to buzz off. But you were right about the Big Ten again. Every year we hear all this nonsense. Oh, Big Ten.
It's balanced. Well, the reason it was balanced is they were all mediocre.
Right.
You know?
Or worse.
Yeah. And Michigan State really looks good now defensively. From what I watched, I didn't watch that much of it, but they're there because they're well coached. That's
Izzo's all. Incredible.
Yeah, he is. He gets them fired up. I saw a little bit of the end of it. He's still screaming at him with 90 seconds to go, and it's like, what are you doing, you dummies? You know,
it works.
Mm-hmm. Say, I do have a question about the Timberwolves. We whine mightily about the loss to Boston.
Yeah, you know, but the officiating. Yeah, we got screwed.
How terribly do they screwed. Miss that guy being 40 feet offside? Actually, they didn't. They lied about it. Because he was talking to that guy. He was talking to the referee, and then they come after the game and say, we didn't. We were busy watching the struggle for the ball under the basket, and we did not see him. What, didn't the league find somebody or something?
Well, they've got those reports that they put out for the last, 2 minutes of each game.
I didn't, that probably doesn't, it probably doesn't say they missed the coach being on the opposite end of the floor. They probably don't have that in there.
Yeah, that's probably
true.
But
I wonder if they find those guys, or the officials, or what they do.
I don't know.
They got to do something. It was unbelievable.
But let's just say that is the luck that the Timberwolves deserve with what they've done.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they just, I don't know. Unreal.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Now we can bash the who else? Well,
you got the Twins, you got the Wolves.
Wild.
Can't bash my Wild.
They're good.
Can't bash that team.
Hey, now, how come Johansson's working so well? He was here the first time. He stunk.
He's healthy. Okay. I guess he was banged up that entire year. Mm-hmm. But you know why? The Wild is good. Because the Wild's GM doesn't try to lie to you all day. He worries about managing the team.
Yeah.
He doesn't worry about the message. No. Billy doesn't worry about the message. No, he just drops F-bombs and does his job. That's what makes him so refreshing.
So, Johansson, when was he here? Three years ago?
The pandemic shortened season. Okay. So 2021, which I think started in January 21, right?
Okay.
So he was here, and then he broke his arm against Vegas in the playoffs. But before then, I guess he had shoulder injuries or something else, and he and Boldy have been great together.
Wow. Well, Boldy's. All of a sudden, he's got 21. And I saw your stat on their plus nine in three games or something.
Yeah.
Centering them.
Well, since they had 24 in 10 games with Kaprizov, he got hurt. They played five games since. I think they have 23 goals.
I was in the car after the loss to Boston and listening to the post-game show. I love hockey coaches. It was Evason explaining how they gave up a couple of the goals. The disgust level that he had of some of the plays they made. It was like he couldn't have been sadder if it was a death in the family. Nope. As I said, it was just how they screwed up and let the Bruins. They didn't. That's not the way we play defense and blah blah blah. It's great. Hockey coaches can still take a moment and get possessed by it. It's great.
Dean's great, too, because he looks like he spends an entire game and post-game presser eating lemons. Mm-hmm. He's got that look of perpetual disgust on his face like he wants to kill somebody.
Yeah, he's got the it's worse than the Bud. It's a little Bud Grantish, but Bud was not.
Bud was stoic.
Bud was not as much disgust as...
Bud was more stoic.
Yeah, and when he was upset, it was searing, but not I want to wring your neck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Dean has a... Dean has that... I feel like it's specific to hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you are an absolute idiot. And he tries to be positive, and it's hilarious because you can tell, you can tell what he tells you isn't what he's thinking.
Well, he obviously left that game saying first they get two goals waved off the one. The guy was offside by 5 feet.
Yeah, it was
the,
stupid.
D-War, but he was, he felt that they had a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
But then he also said, how good are they, by the way?
Oh, the Bruins.
They play an afternoon game here. Yeah. They make them play an afternoon game in Buffalo the next day, and they beat them 7-0.
You know, Pat, So we got the, before the game on Saturday, got the line charts, and I'm looking through Boston. This Orlov guy, the defenseman, who's been fantastic that they got from the Capitals at the deadline, is on their third defensive pair. Their top lines have Marchand and Bergeron, DeBrusque. That's the top line. The second line has Krejci, who's a great player, and Pasternak, who's a 50-goal scorer. Yeah. The third line is Charlie Coyle centering it.
Really?
I mean,
how's Charlie these days? Okay.
He's reliable now.
Yeah.
I think that Marchand and Bergeron said, listen, kid.
Yeah.
That crap that you got away with at Club Med with the Wild, that's done. Because he's a very efficient player.
Is he a center? Is that his best position?
I think so.
We didn't play him there much, did we?
Yeah, we played him there sometimes, not much. No.
Okay. Well, it's.
But man, you're right.
It is. What a kick in the...
And the goalies are good.
What a kick in the groin that'd be if they don't at least get to the Stanley Cup Finals because, I mean, the Rangers loaded up.
The East is... The East in the NBA and NHL is ridiculous.
The exact opposite of what it was 5 years ago, right? Three years ago. Right?
Yes. But the East is just great. Mm-hmm. The Rangers are great. Tampa Bay is still strong. I don't think they're great. Boston, Toronto is really strong. It is going to be, yeah, it's going to be, that's going to be the best part of the playoffs is the Eastern
the
Conference.
The Avs bracket. Are playing good since they got Makar back, though, too, right?
They're yes.
They're going to be tough. They won 5 or 6 in a row, although they aren't scoring a load of goals. They won 2-1 the other
day.
Yeah,
they won. They beat the Red Wings 5-1 Saturday. The best case there is that the Avs surpass the Wild and Dallas, and that the Wild gets Dallas 2-3 matchup first round.
They'll beat them.
I think they've got a chance. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can beat the Avs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not want them first round if I had my druthers.
Oh, I see. Otherwise,
I'm saying if the Avs pass you both, 2-3 is Dallas. Unless you can win the division.
We still got the stupid system that the top three in the division end up, two of have to play
each other.
I mean, 2-3 always.
So the best team. The best team plays the worst
wild
card team.
Why don't they just
do
the whole division? So one plays 8, 2 plays 7.
Because then they're afraid that a team with more points would get left out in a division. Because it used to be that. It used to be the top 4.
Yeah.
With
the
North
Stars. What I'm saying is, forget the division playoffs in the first round. I mean, just take the conference 1-8.
Oh, because they like the division. They think it builds rivalries.
Well, God, you're playing them all year. What the hell difference does it make?
That would make the most sense.
Yes.
Just to go back to conference.
Yes, it would. What else we got?
Gopher basketball. I can't pronounce her last name, but they got a new women's basketball coach.
I figured this out. If you don't try to use your first name, Dawn.
Yeah.
You remember that one.
Yeah, I can remember that one.
If you say Plitzwit real fast,
Plitzwit.
You can't mispronounce it. But Plitzwit. Yeah, how's Coach Plitzwit doing? And she's good.
Plitzwit. Yeah, that's a good one, Pat.
You look at her record.
I like this. You're right. I'm looking at the headline right now.
Yeah.
Plitzwit. He emerges as top target.
But,
that's from Saturday.
The wit is white. I saw a pronunciation guy. Is white. Which means she's not pronouncing it correctly. But
do you want to go to the press conference to tell her?
She's doing it in 10 minutes, right? By 8 minutes, 1 o'clock.
Is that the...
I don't know, 12:30. It started at 12:30.
Oh, God. We missed it.
I say one thing. Our old pal Blood was on top of this thing from the get-go. He had, the morning Lindsay got fired... The AAU coaches in town were telling him it was either her or Megan, whatever her name is, over at Marquette. One of those two.
Okay.
So they were on this.
Way to go, Kit.
The AAU coaches were on this hire from the start, but kind of a Brenda Freeze move there, huh?
All right, it's
one and done at West Virginia.
Plitzuwite.
Plitzuwite.
Plitzuwite. Yeah, that's no fun. That's a lot. Plitzuwite.
Plitzuwite.
That's no that's fun. Not.
But she was at the...
she just signed, right?
Huh?
She just signed a contract with at her
one
old
year.
School.
She was there 1 year. $600,000 buyout, but he gave her enough money, I think, $800,000 a year. He gave her enough money so she can cover her own buyout, rather than when they ask him who's paying the buyout, he doesn't have to say us.
Okay.
Because that's bad PR,
Yeah.
So, She can give him the $600,000 back with that. That's a pretty good contract for, I think, 6 years, 5 years, 6 years.
When are they going? So to go back to our conversation last week, when is he going to start to get NIL money for basketball?
They got to do something. They have got to do something.
The more I think about it, that really falls on him, in my opinion.
Battle and Cooper saying, we're going to look at their pro options, which was crap all the time.
Yes.
We're both going to go on the transfer portal and hope somebody can give us a little NIL money is basically what it is. They're trolling for NIL money.
And if Cooper leaves, that's fine with me. I saw him play.
Yeah, right.
He can go wherever he wants.
Yes, that's true. I said they were key pieces on a 2-17 team. We'll survive. But... Corey Provis, who's an announcer for the Big Ten and hears all the gossip, told me in whatever Twins Fest, whatever the hell that was, end of January, he said, they don't think Battle will be back. They think he'll go try and get some NIL money, some transfer and go somewhere and try to win before he's
But
done.
Who is responsible? That's my thing. It can't all be Ben Johnson.
No, it can't be the Dinky Town Collective, which is giving all its money to football.
And you got to go to top recruits with money.
Yes.
Like this whole thing of, well, when you get here, I mean.
Yeah, you can't use it in recruiting. Yeah, right.
The
okay.
Evans kid got a haul from Louisville, and that's why he left here.
Yes. They were rated lower than us.
Yeah.
They were 4-27.
So how's Ben Johnson supposed to recruit if you don't go with any money in hand, basically? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't even know if the coach can go and ask. If the coach can go visit some company downtown and say, you know, Target, can you let our guys come down there and do whatever? You know, this is the biggest fiasco of all. They're not even making any pretenses that these guys have to do anything for the money now.
Right. Well, you know the thing too is
on Instagram and tell the guy Evans. Go on Instagram and say how great Louisville is, and we'll give you $250,000. You know?
The other thing, too, Pat, is just cheat your ass off. Yes. I would rather see them be good and get stripped of titles. Because once you get, you know, a title or have a good year, no one forgets that. Like, the 96 team didn't disappear.
No, 97. But
The 97 team didn't disappear.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Go cheat.
We've always been stupid here, though. I was thinking, when I watched those Purdue guards play, I always remembered Dutcher telling me, and it wasn't a genius thing, but way back, you know, 40 years ago, guards win basketball games, especially in college. Guards win games. And these guys were so stupid. 1981-82, they had Mark Hall, Daryl Mitchell, and Trent Tucker coming back. And Mark Hall was making phone calls. He'd walk by an office. They didn't have cell phones. If they had cell phones then, he'd walk by an office, and he'd see an empty phone, and he'd call up somebody, and he had a couple $1,000 worth of phone calls.
He had a calling card.
He loved the phone. Get him a calling card. They threw him off the They made Dutcher throw him off the team because his grades weren't any good.
Nobody knows what a calling card is now. Declan is going to have no idea.
Mark Hall was better than Tucker and Mitchell. He was the most talented of the three. They won the Big Ten with only two of them. If they had three, they could have been in the Final Four. They could have been in, you know, they could have won it almost. I can't remember was it. Still UCLA in 82, but, I mean, they threw him out of school.
I know.
They threw him out of school. How stupid were we, for God's sake?
For the record, I do know what a calling card is, Judd. My family had those. My sister lived in France in the early 2000s, and those were still around.
Oh, were they still around?
Yeah, they were still around in the early 2000s.
Okay. Hey, what's this deal they got going now? You can be like in Antarctica. And if you're on this thing, you can call for free. What is that thing?
What do they maybe call that? WhatsApp?
WhatsApp.
It's a WhatsApp. Yep.
Yeah. Everybody's calling each other on WhatsApp.
What the hell is that?
It's like a free messaging app where, like, you don't need a cell phone service. I didn't know you could you can physically call people because my sister did it when she was overseas in Afghanistan last year. We used it to call her.
That's nice.
So yes, it is. I don't know how it's legal.
I got a call from Croatia on WhatsApp, and I said, "What's this costing you? Nothing."
Did it come through your phone, or does it come through?
Yeah,
your computer?
If you can link your phone to an account and like makes its own account.
You know what? I don't need this much.
No, you don't need it.
I was watching Diner.
Oh, I love
the other
movie.
Day.
Love that movie.
And
Barry Levinson.
They see the attractive blonde is riding the horse out there on that big estate in Maryland, Kevin Bacon says.
Kevin Bacon, yeah.
You ever get the impression there's something going on out there that we don't know about? That's my whole life now. What? Yep. What are you using here?
Greatest part of that film is Steve Guttenberg and doing the Colts test.
Oh, God, yes, yes.
Where if she can't pass the test, they're not getting married.
Yes, yes.
God, that's a great scene.
And also the wedding when they They come up and they're playing the Colts song as they go up the aisle, and they're wearing these ungodly Colts colors. It's a hell of a movie. It's a fantastic movie. So I got an issue.
Okay.
I got feral cats in the backyard.
Ooh.
I have not seen them, but 2 years ago, we have this family of cats running all over the neighborhood that gets larger, obviously. Because cats like to do two things. Eat birds and fornicate and have more cats, right? They love having more cats.
Sounds like a good life, to be honest.
If you're a tomcat, you might have, they're not faithful. They don't give a damn, you know. They just want to take that furry little thing and place it
somewhere. Be very careful.
Yes.
Be very careful.
That I am. Well, I had these two little ones that were straight away from that family that a couple of years ago they would be on them. I'd go to get the paper on them 4:30 in the morning in the winter. They'd be on the steps. I'd scream, and I should have killed them then. I should have grabbed a sack.
I'm glad you didn't.
Oh, I hate them. I hate cats.
I'm with Pat.
No purpose.
I couldn't kill a cat.
Oh, God.
I could do it. I'm with Pat. Pat, let me know.
I couldn't do it.
I'll help you.
Basset,
PETA's going to come after the show.
Little bag, Basset Creek, boom, no problem. And
the mafia hit?
But they were little tiny ones. Well, now they must have thought that this was the place to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Because every morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, I hear them screeching. Like they're fighting something.
Yeah, that's
ugly. We won't have a living bird in the neighborhood if we don't get rid of these things.
Yeah.
They kill everything. They're terrible beasts. And I've called like three outfits, and they won't call me back. I don't think they want anything to do with feral cats.
So what, exterminate? What? Who are you
exterminators,
calling?
Yes. I don't care.
Yeah, I bet they want nothing to do with that.
No,
I bet need
no.
To be
I
think you should call the city.
Removal.
Yeah, the Humane Society or something, the Golden Valley, can they like come and take them or put them down even?
You can't take a feral cat and tame it.
No, you have to put it down.
If they grew up in the wild.
But I feel like you should. I feel like you should go to the city.
No, I don't want to. I want to go. The city will try to treat them humanely. I don't want that. I want to make sure they never get back.
Have you thought about a firearm?
I'd
be afraid you'd shoot yourself just personally.
Back in my days in the fold of Minnesota when we had the 410 in the back of the car just in case.
The old man, right?
But he taught.
Because he'd just stop and shoot.
But he taught his children.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He taught his sons to do it. Anyway, call me back, somebody. I want to get rid of these cats.
We could throw it out there.
Yeah, because they're not, we have a nice a few years ago, we had a nice population of cardinals. Nothing beats waking up at 5 in the morning and hearing the cardinals.
Chirping the cardinals.
Singing like crazy. I heard about two of them last year, these bleeping cats. These are screeching. And I looked up feral cats, and it says, if you hear a lot of screeching, that's an indication they're feral cats, meaning they grew up in the wild, So
that one, and I remember waking up my parents when I was young when I heard a rabbit scream for the first time.
Oh,
that is unsettling.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever heard a rabbit scream.
Oh,
it is unsettling.
I had one this fall in the yard out there outside the bedroom, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And this guy met his demise. I don't know if a coyote got him or not.
Probably a yodi.
Have been a yodi.
It's high pitched. Yeah, I was 10, 11 years old, I had to wake up mom and dad. Like, mom, there's something going on outside the house right now.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I got nothing against rabbits, one way or the other.
Rabbits are fine. They're fine.
I can even put up with squirrels, although they're annoying, but...
On Twitter, @Patrick_Royce, tell him what to do about feral cats.
Oh, I don't want
they
to
can
do.
Tweet you.
No.
Because they can't call us right now, so they can tweet you and say, because there's got to be something that you can do.
Yes, but they all want to give me the humane.
Breaking the necks of the poor feral
cats.
They
all want to give me the humane approach. I don't want humane. I want death.
All right. I got one more for you. World Baseball Classic.
Oh, yes.
Have you
We're in the finals.
Have you watched it at all?
I watched.
And any thoughts on Jose Altuve now being out for...
Unbelievable.
Like 2 months.
I'm referring to this as the last ever World Baseball Classic. Let it soak in. But people get mad.
Oh, God, yeah.
They want us to...
They love
we
this.
Want to love to the international aspect of this. Cubans out there with the 22nd, the 49th best pitcher in two organizations starting against our boys. We beat them 14-2, and we're supposed to be bursting with pride.
Yes.
And you look at the U.S. pitching staff, who the hell are half these guys, you know?
Wainwright, who's my age, started last night.
Yeah, he did, and it looked like they were going to get a bunch of runs.
Like
I saw the first
57.
Inning. Yeah, I haven't watched very much. But what I did find out is I clicked back and forth, and on the third inning or so, I think the U.S. had gone ahead or something. I don't know. I realized at 12:43 this morning when somebody texted me, how come the local media isn't giving more? I realized I hadn't looked up to see what the final score was at 12:43 in the morning. I didn't know if they won or lost. I don't care.
We got that tweet, too. Why aren't you guys talking about this? It's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, they're mad at you guys.
Yeah. They want us to talk about it. When we have, and I've said, this is ridiculous. I mean, now Altuve's out for months.
Yeah, he's out 2 months, probably.
Yeah, to play, you know, again.
Altuve, Edwin Diaz for the year, Freddie Freeman's got something.
He pulled his hamstring at the end of it for Team Canada. But this is, this whole thing, but here's the biggest problem, Pat. They've gotten all of the national ball people on board. They do is tell you how great this thing is.
Well, the game takes 4 hours, and they're drawing good crowds for Puerto Rico versus the Dominican. Guess what? We're not building the game in Puerto Rico and the Dominican. The game's already built in the Puerto Rico and the Dominican.
Yeah, you're right.
Japan. We're not building the game in Japan. Japan, the game is already built. China, you think you're building the game in China? They're very proud. They have 1 million people playing baseball now in China in some form. There are 1.44 billion people in China. So you got 1 million watching. That's like 7 people in Minnesota. So it's stupid. The players you got playing. I don't care. We're going to be playing. I hope Mexico wins tonight just to agitate Marjorie Greene. That's all I care about. Marjorie Taylor Jackass. I want to, I want to have her get upset. But outside of that, I could care less.
Yeah. I want to hear, there's got to be one MLB executive that comes out and says, this was the worst thing ever.
Our worst idea ever.
We lost, you know.
I did enjoy seeing seeing replays of Louis hitting a couple home runs.
That was great. I hope he has a great year. I hope has a great year. He deserves, he's a good,
talking about this. Let's see. We were worried about Louis's health. Let's trade him. We weren't worried. He wasn't hurt, really.
No.
Last year, he played. He missed a couple of games.
Yeah. Warrior.
Polanco was hurt. We weren't worried about Polanco's health. We were worried about Louis's health. What happened there? And now Polanco's not going to play for the first month of the season or something. All right.
All right. Talk to you.
Happy New Year. You've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 40 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Roycey is a paid endorser.